Hello, and welcome to Queering Eve, a spoiler-free-ish podcast about the TV show Killing Eve, made by some queers. Hi, I'm Tamara, and I'm the one who cleaned under her couch after a while. It's been a while. There were many things there.
Hi, I'm Nina, and I'm the one who is very grateful for the cups that tell you the measurements from different countries, because converting things from the American system is rough.
Hi, I'm Nea, and I'm the one who is determined to start a jigsaw puzzle after this recording.
Cool! So today we are watching Killing Eve Season 3, Episode 5, titled Are You From Pinner? It was written by Suzanne Heathcote and directed by Shannon Murphy, who had one movie at the Ljubljana International Film Festival in 2019 called Baby Teeth. I have not seen it, but that's all I noticed in her IMDb page.
And Suzanne is this season's showrunner.
Yeah. So, we start this episode exactly where we left episode 4, which is in Grizmet. And Villanelle is walking along a road, almost gets run over by a truck, and then we see the title card, Mother Russia, because that's how we roll.
It's especially fun because we literally know the name of the village we're in. And I think it's weird that that's a made-up village. Because when we were in that English village where Frank lived, that was a real one. But now these showrunners were like, we don't know a single village in Russia, so we have to make one up.
Maybe Putin personally takes you to court if you insult a real place in Russia. So this village isn't looking so hot. A few buildings are falling apart, but Villanelle has a specific place in mind that she wants to go, and she walks into this house.
Wait, can I just interrupt you? There's cows.
There are cows, yes, because it's a village and people farm there.
There are two specifically hanging out there,
right in front of the house.
In front of the house, yeah. That Villanelle goes in.
Yeah,
that's why she went in. She was like, "These cows, I really like. Gonna go into this house."
Yeah,
I really like the vibe of a place where you don't just leave your doors unlocked, but you leave them open.
Yeah.
I like that.
Very chill. Yeah, and when she walks in the first room in the hall, there are many pictures of the family that lives in this house. And Villanelle, she's very into it. Then she walks on into the kitchen, and there is just bread on the counter, because we like to have our bread dried out. Love that.
I would just like to say that it's a very nice Slavic kitchen, and they have a nice spice rack. Mm-hmm.
Then we finally meet a human person living in this house. It is...
Not a cow.
It is Borka, who we will shortly realize is Villanelle's half-brother. And also we right away get acquainted with his entire personality, which is that he is an Elton John fan.
Yep. Then we meet some more human people.
And not cows.
Yeah, we will not meet any further cows. Just letting you down easy.
We barely even met those two cows. Like, do we know their names? We don't know their names. Do we know their job? Yeah. We do not.
Do we know which English musician they are fans of? No.
What a bad episode of television.
So, we are introduced to Yula, who just walks by, but we find out that she's Fyodor's girlfriend. And Fyodor is Borka's half-brother. Of course, every person that meets Villanelle wonders who she is, but instead of finding out, they just have their own assumptions, because this is fun. Yeah, because this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Until finally we meet Piotr, who is Villanelle's brother, and he recognizes Villanelle, and it's a moment.
It sure is, because they have not seen each other for many, many years.
And they both thought that the other was dead until very recently.
Exactly, exactly. So Villanelle is waiting around in this house for a little bit and hanging out with Burka. And they are, of course, talking about Elton John. Burka's entire room is decorated in Elton John's paraphernalia. And they are talking about what Elton would eat in the exotic places that Villanelle visited.
Mm-hmm.
In Vienna, he would eat ice cream, which is a little throwback to our season one.
Really? It's not the famous Austrian cuisine of ice cream?
No, unfortunately, Austrian cuisine is horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Burka is very distraught because he wants to go see Elton on his farewell tour and he needs 50,000 rubles to travel to London to go see him. And then, tum 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 tum, Villanelle's mother comes home. And Villanelle, despite the fact that she was here to meet her and was waiting around for her specifically, panics and tries to run out of the house. Unsuccessfully somehow, because she is suddenly very inept.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So instead she walks to her mother and her mom hugs Villanelle, and Villanelle is still quite uncomfortable and she just kind of stands there and doesn't really know how to react.
Then, to lighten up this family situation, Piotr brings a photo album and they look at photos, at baby photos, child photos of the family, and it's cute. There's a photo of Villanelle, like in a costume that is supposed to be like a creepy kid, I don't know.
Yeah, because this show is very subtle.
Yeah.
But she looks so cute, I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's true.
They do talk a bit more about how they left Villanelle, and the mom says that she meant to just leave her in the orphanage for a month and then come back. And we are supposed to believe this? Question mark, question mark.
Yeah, it's very unclear whether the mom was in on Villanelle's being taken by the 12 and all this shit. I don't want to get into it again because it's just unclear what happened.
There are ways of making plot more clean.
And also there is a very obvious lack of Villanelle's dad in the photo album, which Villanelle notices, but her mom doesn't want to talk about it and just offers Villanelle tea instead.
Yes, and this is obviously very significant, but it's not clear in any way how or why.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly.
Because this show also likes to be on brand.
Then we have another scene that is not very subtle, but I think is very fun.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
And I enjoy it a lot. We see everyone that we've met and Villanelle at a table, and they are saying that she's a killer. And we're like supposed to think, oh no, how did they figure it out? They're saying all these things that are true for her. And then we find out that they are playing a game. And it turns out that the mom is the killer. Ooh, what's that supposed to mean? But it's fun. It's good.
It's a good scene. I enjoyed it.
And to put the a cherry on top of it, then they just start dancing and singing Elton John. And it's just fun.
We learned something about Villanelle in this scene, which is one, that she's not a fan of vodka. And two, that's two things. We learned two things about Villanelle at this scene. One, that she's not a fan of vodka because she does not drink it when she is offered, but instead just throws it over her shoulder. And
do you think that means she's not a fan of vodka, or she wants to stay like clear-headed while she's doing this, or she doesn't trust that they're not trying to poison her or something?
All three.
I read it as the second option.
I'm leaning more towards just doesn't like it. I think she would still be able to kill people drunk. Yeah, so the other thing is that she is just not a good singer. She's terrible.
La!
But has a lot of confidence, so, you know.
That's also important, yeah. Yeah. They would love her on America's Got Talent. Is that what it's called?
There is a show called America's Got Talent, I think.
Great content.
Thank you.
So next we move to a barn that is next to this house. And Piotr is beating the living shit out of an old sofa there. And Villanelle walks in, sees this in action, and explains that she used to do woodwork, which is very gay.
Also, they think that she's a pilot, which I think is also very gay.
And so they start talking a little bit about their childhood. Piotr says that he wanted to be a firefighter. And he says that he missed Villanelle.
He's very sweet.
Yeah.
What is he doing in this family?
Well,
I guess he's like their father, who also was great. But
men are good when men suck.
Piotr also explains that he is beating this couch to manage his anger problem, basically so that he doesn't beat up people. And Villanelle is against this. She thinks that he should beat up people.
Of course she does.
Yeah.
And we also learn that Villanelle was told that her family died in a car crash.
Yeah.
Very Harry Potter.
Very Harry Potter.
Then we move on to a scene where there is a lot of food on a table. Nea?
Yes, there's a lot of food on the table. Most of it, I have no idea what it is, but some of it I recognize as Slavic food that's similar to what we eat as well.
I don't eat stuff that looks like that.
Yeah, we as a culture, not Nina and us specifically.
Nina is hashtag bad Slav.
But it all looks pretty authentically Slavic. And the main dish that they're there for is golubci, which seem to be stuffed cabbage leaves, which is, yeah, very hashtag Slavic.
Piotr is quite excited to have Villanelle there, and he wants everyone to know that this is his sister. They talk to this lady, Nadezhda, who will make piroshki for the festival, because there is part of the festival is a competition in piroshki.
Yeah, it's a piroshki competition.
And she is a famous lady in this village because she has won this competition 19 years in a row. So,
hell yeah.
Lady, I would love to eat your piroshki. But also this year, Borka will enter this competition. So we will see, maybe.
He needs that money for Elton John.
Yes, exactly. For Elton John. Or maybe he will discover a new hobby for himself. Maybe he would be a great cook.
I also love that in this scene, Piotr tries to introduce Villanelle to everyone, and he addresses everyone who is present in this establishment in English. And it makes sense that everyone just ignores him. Just straight up ignores him.
Why is this show so strangely inconsistent about the use of foreign languages?
I think it's because this show doesn't use languages in the sense of reality building, but as an aesthetic.
Okay, that's a valid point.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. I'm willing to accept that. Okay, so we are finished here and we move back to the house where Villanelle, Yula and Fyodor are watching the moon landing for some reason. Or like, I guess it's a documentary on the moon landing.
We find out that they are conspiracy theorists.
Yes.
specifically flat earthers and other things. Lizard people believers.
Yep.
I think it's like a nice soup of all of them.
If he lived to 2020, he would believe in COVID vaccine having tiny computers.
Oh, you know it. Wow. Oof.
First, we find out that Fyodor and Yula believe that the moon landing was staged, and that's because they also believe that the Earth is flat. And Villanelle laughs at this great joke and then realizes they are serious. And then she just, like, listens with such great fascination. It's beautiful to watch. Yeah. While they explain how the world works, which is... there is a secret organization that influences every government in the world.
Sounds familiar.
Every intelligence agency in the world has members of this secret organization infiltrated within it. And these people will cause the downfall of the planet. And also, they are lizards.
I hope that in future episodes or the next season, we find out that the 12 are actually lizards.
Yes.
That, wow. I do really like how this joke is delivered, because it's really, I guess it's in the similar style as the Mafia game, because you go in and they're saying things that are correct, and then in the last moment they say something completely outlandish, when you realize that actually, even though they were objectively correct in what they were saying, it was also wrong. Which is fun.
Yeah, this episode has a few of these jokes that are
good.
Yes. Let's continue. I meant to say, like, very not subtle in a way that could be annoying, but they're delivered really well.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
But good also works, right?
Yeah, you can cut the real explanation out and just leave that.
So Villanelle, when she has enough of this conversation, she leaves the living room and passes Borka's room, wherein she hears weird noises. And it's because Borka is bumping his head against the wall, against his wall, and calling himself stupid, which Villanelle finds quite upsetting. Which is interesting that she should find this upsetting. I guess it's her connection to children again that we have seen several times. I don't think she would be upset if, like, Pyotr or someone
did this.
Yeah.
I think she would be, well, not exactly upset, but we have a similar scene when Pyotr is, like, hitting the couch, where she comes over and is like, hey, what's up? It's different, but, you know.
Yeah. So then we go on to the making of piroshki, which Borka and Pyotr will make together. And they are using a recipe from this very old book that has ounces in it. And Pyotr wants to know how many grams are in an ounce.
And Borka uses the magic of Google, which is... well, we don't know that it's Google. Russian Google?
Bing. Oh, Yandex.
And Borka uses the magic of the internet, which is incredible because they are in Russia, but he has a smartphone. Also, about the book being old. Yes, that's in the subtitles. But what Pyotr actually says is that it's a glupa kniga, which means it's a stupid book. And it's translated into being an old book.
The title of the book is Food for Friends, which I like.
That's nice.
How glupa.
And then Villanelle walks out and starts talking to her mom's husband, who is doing some chill farming. It's barely farming. He's in a garden.
That's called gardening.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I wanted to say. He is doing some gardening.
No, chill farming is good.
Words, huh?
Words.
Villana has a chat with her mom's husband about, like, what he knows about her, what her mom has been telling him, and then when she was, like, close to getting some information out of him, we see the mom looking at them from inside the house, and she comes over and basically stops this.
Yeah, and it's very fun how she is, like, looking suspiciously out the window, and then 2 seconds later, she's already outside. But also, I think it's fitting that she only brings tea for her husband and for Villanelle.
Mm-hmm. So do we think, like, we gather from this episode, kind of, from, like, subtext, that Villanelle's mom did not think that Villanelle was dead? And I don't remember how we learned this, but we kind of do. And do we feel like her husband knew about this?
I feel like he knows things that don't incriminate the mom. As in, she told him about how terrible Villanelle was and stuff like that, but she didn't say anything about her own terrible actions. And about her knowing, I don't know.
It's not super clear. Intentionally left ambiguous. But it is my opinion that she sold Villanelle to the 12.
I think that makes sense, yeah.
Anyway, then the mom tells Villanelle that she has something for her. So they go inside and the mom shows Villanelle a denim boiler suit, which used to be hers, but she adjusted it to Villanelle's size, which she guessed by looking at Villanelle. And also, they are super similarly built, so I don't know what she had to adjust. And then she just, like, kind of holds it up and is like, yes, this will fit you. The size is correct.
All of these things are how it works, right, Tamara?
Yeah, totally. That's how you sew.
Anyway, Villanelle loves it.
Yeah, she does. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the fun part of the episode has started. We are at the Harvest Festival.
All right, we made it.
There is quite a varied group of people there. We see Yula, who we learn is a very good shot with a shotgun. And she is with her crew.
I don't like shooting, but I thought it was super cool how well she did while looking at her phone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Also, excuse me, Tamara, she is with her performance troupe.
Sorry, she is with her performance troupe. Then we see Villanelle, who is also very good at this game. She's guessing under which cup is the thingy, and she's way too good at it. And is told to then fuck off after winning it like 3 times. To be honest, I'm not sure how you, unless like the person doing it is cheating, how can you lose that? Genuine question.
I don't know. Maybe it's meant for children.
Possibly.
Or dogs.
Or me.
We see Fedya trying to hit on this random girl.
Who just leaves. I love her.
Yeah, and she just looks at him weird and then walks away.
This happens next to a bouncy castle, which is also great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. We see that Nadezhda again won the pirashki competition.
20th year in a row.
20th year in a row, which makes Borka very upset.
I'm happy for her, though.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I'm happy for Nadezhda, and yes, it makes sense. But then, like, Villanelle is watching Borka, and the mom comes over to him, and she's saying some stuff to him that we don't hear, but you can see Borka getting more and more upset, and I don't know, it's just upsetting.
So then Villanelle eats a pretzel and talks to Yula's performance troupe, that we learn are called All Around, and then Villanelle makes a terrible slut-shaming joke.
Well, one of the girls likes it.
Funny.
I love the trope when a villain has like two sidekicks and one of them is kind of fucking up the villainy thing by enjoying the jokes and things of the protagonist or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
Just some other fun notes, fun glimpses that we get of this Harvest Festival before we continue to the main event. Some other activities that are happening are giant chess, which the dad is playing. There is some kind of competition of carrying buckets of water around obstacles, but in drag. So that's fun. There we see someone dressed as a cow, which obviously I enjoyed. And
so another cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't get to meet this cow either, though.
We don't know what this cow's favorite musician is.
Yeah. And at some point we get to see a few of the prizes that that Villanelle has won already. And it's a panda plushie, several lollipops, and a garden gnome, and like a football plushie. Yeah. Among other things.
Yeah. Villanelle is doing way too well in this event. I'm sure that no one likes her. yeah, and then we are at the main event, which is dunk throwing.
I disagree that this is the main event, but...
It's the main event for Villanelle. She's the most excited when she wins this at the end. Go, Villanelle!
I just want to say that I love Villanelle's energy during this whole festival. It's so entertaining, and... She is so entertained, so that's fun as well.
It's very aspirational.
Mm.
Yeah.
To be young and alive.
She wins a giant fan, which I suppose was meant as a haha, we're in Russia where it's never hot joke. But as Nina explained, it is hot in Russia, so...
It is hot in Russia, yeah.
Yeah, so jokes on you, Killing Eve staff.
You do need a fan.
Yeah.
I think it's cute how her whole family cheers her on when she wins.
Yeah,
it's another fun scene.
It's very cute. Then we see the dance troupe All Around perform.
Yes!
On the stage! Yeehaw!
I want to see more of this performance. It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's homophobic that we didn't see more of it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, then we have Villanelle sitting on a pile of shit that she won, and she is talking to Borka, who is...
Sorry, but if you're saying pile of shit,
you should
in this
specify
context,
that it's not dumb shit, stuff shit.
So she's sitting on a pile of stuff that she won in all of the many competitions in this event, and she's talking to Borka. Borka is quite upset and is again starts hitting himself, and Villanelle stops him because she finds it quite disturbing. And he tells her that his mom told him that he embarrassed the family because he lost his competition.
Yeah.
And that he is stupid. And that is terrible. And I guess here we see a little bit probably of how Villanelle was also treated as a child, we assume.
Yeah. Yeah. In this moment, I realized, wow, this mom truly is bad.
Yeah.
I know we see glimpses of it earlier, but here it's just like, oh yeah, just some chill abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this whole episode is telling us, like, this mom used to be very mean and terrible, but now she is... pretending to be a nice person, and Villanelle is trying to convince everyone that she's terrible and no one believes her because she's so nice and chill now, and then this happens.
Yeah, I think maybe she is mainly terrible to the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense, because she has power over him.
Exactly, exactly. Villanelle gives him candy, which is sweet.
Yeah.
The candy is sweet.
I assume so, yes.
And then we are again back at the house where Villanelle is cutting some tomatoes, and her mom comes up to her, and Villanelle does this prank where she pretends that she's crying blood, which upsets her mom quite a lot.
But it's so cute. She looks so good with that.
Yeah.
With that tomato blood coming from her eyes. I love it.
Yeah.
And also the apron. I love the apron.
So. Oh, yeah. The apron is amazing. And here I have her mom's name written down.
Oh, wow.
Which is Tatiana. So I'm going to call her Tatiana now. Tatiana appears to be upset because Villanelle is wasting food.
But don't worry, Villanelle can buy 20,000 tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I would assume that since we're supposed to think she's rich, she can buy many more than that.
Of course.
She's rich, but she never went to math class.
Yeah. How much could one banana cost? $10?
Villanelle says to her mom, "You always laugh at things that aren't funny." And the mom says, "Like you?" And at first I understood this as that Villanelle also laughs at things that aren't funny, but what it's supposed to be is that she laughs at Villanelle and...
Villanelle is a thing that is not funny.
Yes, I am objectifying Villanelle here.
She is.
But it's very heartbreaking. Then her mom tells her to clean her face and Villanelle wants her to do it. And the mom does. And it's a very, like, one of those things that has been happening in this season where it's like, Villanelle and child parallel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She literally says she wants to feel like a child.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very, very subtle, as always.
Exactly. And then we end this touching event by Tatiana saying to Villanelle that she needs to leave their house because she is not a part of this family and doesn't belong here.
But I felt like Villanelle was truly a part of this family, especially at the Harvest Festival.
Yeah, she fit in quite nicely.
Yeah.
Villanelle, of course, doesn't want to exactly just leave because her mom tells her so. So she asks how her mom's gonna kick her out.
Then they have some more like heartbreaking conversations about Villanelle's childhood. So in this instance, it's like, you can't kick me out. You can't just... Yeah, it's easier to carry a trusting child than me. Yeah. Something like that. And then they talk a bit more about the dad and how fucked up they both used to be. / Villanelle is very upset about how cruel her mom was during her childhood. And her mom excuses this by saying that actually Villanelle was a bad child. Which
she didn't cry as a baby, which is as bad as abusing your child.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, they also have this exchange in which the mom says, "Don't pretend that you were an angel." And Villanelle's reply is, "Don't pretend that you were a mother." Oh.
Yeah. Fair.
They have some more hints towards what happened with the dad and what dad thought about each of them and blah blah, and it's again just like pointless.
Yeah, they talk about having the darkness and how the dad would do anything for Villanelle, and Villanelle wants her mom to admit that she is also a psychopath.
Basically, yeah.
And then tells her that she's gonna have to kill her. And I guess because Tatiana has not met her daughter in quite many years and does not know about her whereabouts and her, how should we say this?
Her career?
Her career, yes. She doesn't seem too concerned about it.
Villanelle is crying while she's saying this and her mom is just staring emotionless. And then we cut to Villanelle pouring gas, turning on a lighter. We go through the house. We see that the mom is now dead, lying on the floor. Borka is awoken by an alarm and sees a message to him to go to the barn. And then we follow him, go to the barn where he finds some money that Villanelle left for him to go to that Elton John concert. We see that Piotr is in the barn, sleeping there, and then the house explodes.
Woohoo! And cool guys, don't look at explosions! So, Villanelle walks away from this house, very determined.
She yells in frustration.
She's not happy about murdering these people, but also she is very righteous. She's very righteous about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's Villanelle's stunt in Grismet. And we see her one last time on the train, where she is wearing her mom's 80s outfit and very aggressively listening to music. That we do not hear. So I imagine that's how I looked every day when I was driving to school.
You were in a similar headspace.
Yeah, like I was listening to music all the time and not talking to anyone. And
thinking about the murder you just committed.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, I'm sure I walked accidentally over a lot of bugs, so maybe kind of like that.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly like it, I would say. I really like this scene. I love Jodie Comer's face acting in it. And like, it's not the same as, but it reminds me of that scene in Portrait of a Lady on Fire, the last scene.
Yes.
Yeah, Vivaldi.
Yes. Just staring, yearning, just faces, just emotions on faces. Yes. And yeah, like I said, this is different, but it gives me a similar vibe. And turns out I'm really into this.
Into faces,
yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
And that's the episode.
Ooh. So
for this week's Russian Corner, we have a real life Russian, a certified Russian person, Vic. Hi.
Hi.
So I brought you in today because this episode includes a lot more Russian stuff than usual. And let's not just use me, a phony, to talk about Russian stuff. How do you feel in general about the Russian representation in this episode?
It's totally unrealistic.
Right?
Like 90% of the time, it's totally unrealistic. I was just like, yeah, okay, if that's how you see Russian village, okay. Okay, yeah, better for you.
I was only ever in cities, I think, or if I went to a village, it was just for a short time and I was a kid, so I don't remember. But do you have experiences? I don't know, did the place where you grew up, was it a village or was it a town more?
Well, I come from a small town, very small town. Mm-hmm. It's basically a town surrounded by villages.
Okay.
Yeah. But I've only been to a village like twice in my life.
Okay.
As a kid mostly. But I can definitely say that people don't ride donkeys anymore. And in the show, in the episode, it's like that person with a donkey all the time. And I'm like, No, they don't do that anymore. Like, they just don't.
I think they imagine, like, yes, Russia, it's just like here, but 100 years ago.
Yeah, something like that. Here, but 100 years ago, yeah.
And the name, Grismet.
The name is totally nuts.
Those sounds don't make sense.
Yeah, it's just like basically some letters combined together.
In a way that just you would never do.
Yeah, it's totally...
I don't understand why they didn't just use an actual village. Yeah. Like, ooh, how hard. They do that with England, so...
Yeah.
It's silly. But also... It's not that hard to just think of a word that sounds Russian.
Yeah, you can like, just Google things, you know?
Google or just use a name of someone.
Yeah, it's basically actually every name, like most of the names for towns or villages in Russia are the same as like last names for people, basically.
Yeah, or like even actual Russian words.
Come on, privet would sound even more realistic. You know,
it would be hilarious as well. She just comes to Russia and it says privet. I would love that. How did you feel about the Mother Russia?
Well, actually, I think the way they represented the Russia, the village in Russia, like the outside was pretty much a good job. Mm. Like it looks
the train station and things like that when she
And like the destroyed house that they showed, mm-hmm. like the road that's totally destroyed. Mm-hmm. Like it's like 100% in there.
Yeah, I've experienced that.
The roads in Russia are just
But specifically the Mother Russia thing, I really like that because it is like a thing, like Matrasia, that is a thing that is said.
Yeah, it's like totally normal.
It's not Grizmet.
They use it in Russia. Yeah, it's not Grizmet. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's realistic. Yeah. Especially after a couple of shots of vodka, you would start calling Russia Mother Russia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But none of them did. They did drink some vodka. And
I actually think that's somehow realistic as well.
It is. Yeah.
Like some people may say that it's not true. Russians don't drink that much, but
really?
In a village? Yeah, they do.
I lived in a city. I lived in like the center of Moscow and that is still true, like for my experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a stereotype that I think is true.
Yeah, it is. Oh, my dad is calling me. Can I take a second?
Yeah, of course.
Это да. Снимаем, кстати, подкаст с подругой, которая жила в России какое-то время, так что она сейчас тут подслушивает.
So then we go into the house where Villanelle's family lives. And do you have any thoughts on how the house looks and all the decorations and things?
I think that the inside of the house looks nothing like real houses in Russia look like. Like, it looks like it's been just renovated yesterday and it's all like fresh and beautiful and fancy.
It looks...
It's nice.
Yeah.
If you're like a foreigner and you look at it, yeah, it may look realistic, but for someone who comes from a small town... who lived in a Russian house. You know that it's nothing like that. Mm. It's just, no, like, beautiful blue walls. Like, no, they don't do that. They don't.
Did you notice any of the decorations or one that I remember? Like, I think some of it was okay. There were some icons and stuff that, like, makes sense.
That's totally true. Yeah. I mean, in Russia, they... mostly religious people, and if they're not, they have to have icons. Just
I think it's like Christianity here. It's not just a religion; it's like the culture as well.
Yeah, I would say it's like in half of the cases, it's the culture. Yeah.
Yeah, so that made sense to me. On the fridge, I think there was a drawing.
Mumia.
Mumia.
I could not understand. Like it was like a drawing of a girl or something.
I think it was supposed to be mom.
Yeah,
but mumia.
Like, why
is a mummy mumia?
Yeah, it's
okay.
Mummy. Yeah.
Okay, it is.
Yeah,
I was.
Oh my god! Maybe they were trying to say like mummy as like M O M M.
Oh yeah,
mummy like mom.
If we gave them a lot of credit, we could say that it was like foreshadowing that the mom is gonna die.
Maybe, or maybe that the kid who did the drawing. That he didn't really like his mom, maybe, so maybe
I want you to be a mummy.
Yeah, like, can you please just die?
I mean, she was rude to Borka.
Yeah,
so.
She was totally, abusive. Can I use bad words here?
Yes,
she was a total bitch.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Did you notice anything in the fridge?
Yeah, they had, like, two cans of drink. That's what I noticed, but I couldn't really... read what it was called, like something privet, was it? No, something.
To me, it looked like poos something, and then pop.
I don't know. I haven't been in Russia for some years, and maybe they have drinks like that now. But what I remember, they would have like those regular drinks like cola and like Fanta, Pepsi.
I mean, there are some that are just like Russian,
but
this didn't look like any.
Yeah, like usually it would say like cola, but in Cyrillic.
Yeah, yeah. Another food, I guess, if we're talking about food.
I love talking about foods. Let's do this.
Okay, let's just do all of the food. The mom says something about like, I will bring you kupviska.
Yeah, and what the heck is that? Actually, there's no word in Russia like that. Maybe I speak some different Russian.
I feel like it is on brand in the sense that it is just like grismet. Like, those letters do not go together like that.
True.
And then there was some food in like the establishment where Piotr and Villanelle go to eat.
That actually looked amazing. I got hungry a bit when I saw that moment. They had like golubtsi, basically cabbage rolls with meat. They haven't had those in years. It's delicious. It's typical Russian food, and I think in villages that's what people would eat. Mm-hmm. You know, basically it's cabbage and meat. You can get it anywhere.
Yeah.
And they also had a lot of salads.
Mm-hmm.
We do salads most of holidays, but when we do it, we do a lot of them. I'm pretty sure they had Olivier. Yeah, Olivier, the salad. We have to have it on holidays. It's a must. It's even more of a must than galupci. At least in my experience. But basically, it contains of peas, potatoes, I believe carrots, cucumbers, meat, and a lot of mayo.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of mayo.
So yeah, the food, like, to me as well, made sense.
Yeah, they nailed it totally.
Yeah, yeah. Woo, good job.
At least something, eh?
Yeah. Oh, and piroshki, that's a big thing.
Oh gosh, the piroshki looked amazing. Like, damn. Even the, burnt ones by Borka.
Yeah.
They looked good. Like, it was hell yeah. Totally, totally true.
Yeah. You have any thoughts on the concept of a harvest festival? And then also we could go through the activities.
Well, I think the whole idea of the harvest festival was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically the stage that they created was exactly like the one that we used to have in my town, you know? And the concert. They actually used Russian music during the festival.
Did they?
Like Verka Serdyuchka. Oh. They used that, and it was like so fucking amazing that they used it. Because this is exactly what Russians listen to. It's just that music, that song, vodka and piroshki. This is like truly Russian thing. At least to me. The stage was amazing, the music was amazing, the performances were... It was kind of stupid, but it was true. Like, that's what they have, like, basically DIY stage, DIY performances. Weirdly looking dancers.
They were amazing, come on now.
I'm sorry, I don't like Yulia. Sorry, I just know.
Her name is Yulia, right?
I think she's Yulia.
Because Tamara and Nea kept saying Yula.
It's Yulia or Yulia.
Yeah.
But in the subtitles, they wrote it as Yula.
Okay.
It's supposed to be Yulia.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I heard it as Yulia and I was like, okay, you are gaslighting me.
Yeah, like, come on, it's not that hard to add another letter.
But also, Nea and Tamara gaslit me in this episode. Just so you know, whenever they say Yula, they are gaslighting me. It's Yulia.
Yeah. The activities?
Yeah.
Like the piroshki contest? I think that may be like real thing, actually.
I can see that happening.
Mostly, like, people would gather. Maybe, like, some families will bring homemade food with them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not for a contest, but...
Yeah. What else did we have? There was the water carrying while in drag.
Oh my god, I loved that moment. Mm-hmm. I think people may still be doing that. That's like, it's such a Russian thing, mm-hmm. because in villages, let's be honest, in like real Russian villages, not every house has water in it. Mm-hmm. I think people may be doing that in villages for fun as well.
Mm.
Especially like men, they have to show how strong they are.
Yeah,
like
of course.
That, I don't know if it's toxic, but that like masculinity thing in Russian village, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they are dressed as women in.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I'm not sure if it's during that moment that Russian song was played.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But that would be so suitable because that song that played during the Harvest Festival, it's by a man singer who dresses up as a woman.
All right, okay. did they do anything else? Oh, I guess the thing of...
The chess?
Oh, yeah, the huge chess. Chess is a huge thing in Russia.
I mean, it is. I mean, I think it was a bigger thing
in Soviet.
Yeah. And nowadays... It's not as popular.
But still, like, if you're walking down the streets, at least in Moscow, there are always old men, like, playing chess.
Yeah, they have those, like, tables for chess playing.
And they're, like,
yeah.
ready to compete with anyone who dares.
It reminds me of Queen's Gambit.
Yeah. I just remembered, and this is, like, in Soviet times, but my dad... decided to learn Russian because he was playing chess a lot, and to be able to do chess like very seriously, it was almost a must to speak Russian so that you could like go there and compete with the best people in the world. Yeah.
While we're talking about this, you reminded me also about the English/Russian language in the show.
I think the main thing that I wanted to discuss, I think that's basically the last thing, and yeah, the most important one. So I want to do this in two parts. So one is the Russian that they speak, and then the other is how they speak English. Which one do you want to tackle first?
Oh, Russian.
Okay.
Like, there's so much to say. I'm pretty sure that those actors are Russian speaking, like it's their native tongue.
I think it is.
Like, they, because, like, it's perfect Russian.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect. Yeah. Besides the part, like, the father of the family,
mm-hmm.
he has some accent, and the way he speaks Russian is a bit weird to me, mm-hmm. even though you don't really get to hear him speak Russian mm-hmm. much.
Mm.
But, like, other people are just amazing. I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure it's, like, their native tongue.
I think, if I remember correctly, the actors that they got were, like, Russian, Ukrainian... I don't remember if they were all Russian, but yeah, definitely. I was so happy with their Russian, because in episodes of Killing Eve before this one, we got some bad stuff. Like, the Russian is...
It's horrible, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
they tried to, but...
Did they even try? Because to me, sometimes it just doesn't... Like, some of the words just aren't even Russian. Or they pronounce them so badly that they don't even sound like an actual
word. Yeah, I think
word.
They pronounced it really badly. Mm. Like, in the episode, the lady who worked at the restaurant...
Надежда?
I'm not sure she spoke Russian that well.
Mm.
Maybe I don't remember correctly. Because actually she mostly spoke English.
Like, most of them shouldn't even know English.
Yeah, that's the thing that bothered me a lot.
Yeah.
Like... Okay, maybe Borka would speak a bit of English.
Yeah.
And I mean like a bit of English.
Mm.
While others, they're not supposed to speak English at all. Like basically not a single word.
Exactly.
Like, I got lucky enough that I had a great English teacher who liked me a lot. And every time I wanted to learn more, she would help me. But...
This episode had everyone speaking English.
That's totally crazy. It's so unrealistic. It's totally unrealistic.
I I feel like with so many things in this episode, they, like, regressed the characters and the town and, like, just made this Russian village seem so, like, outdated. But then with the English, it just made it seem like years ahead. Like, yeah, what are they doing here?
It's just so weird.
Yeah.
At the Harvest Festival, when Yulia's friends asked her why Villanelle spoke English,
mm-hmm.
and Yulia said, because that way she thinks she's cool or mm-hmm, something. Mm-hmm. And that's how Russians would react to someone who speaks English. Yeah. Basically like that. Oh, she thinks she's a bad bitch for like knowing a foreign language.
Yeah. But then everyone else continued to speak English.
Yeah, like, that's just... No. Like, even if you walk somewhere in Moscow, there's a small chance that most of the people would understand what you're trying to say in English.
Yeah.
Actually, another part that we, you and me talked like in private about, uh-huh. the Elton John.
Yes.
Like, okay, Borka, he's a huge fan.
Yeah.
Like, it actually motivated me to learn English more because I enjoy music, yeah. like songs in English. And maybe like that's how he learned the language. But Yulia, Pyotr, others, like especially mom and dad, like they wouldn't give a hell
yeah.
about learning Elton John's music. They just, in Russia, not many people actually listen to foreign music.
Mm. Well, I think that's it. Do you have anything else to share?
I don't know. I'm gonna get some ideas later when we're done.
As of always. Course, that's how it works. Well then, thank you for joining me.
Thank
this.
You.
It would suck if I were alone, me, a poser.
Okay. Yay.
We're done.
Oh, nailed it.
Yeah.
So let's move on to Uti.
Woo.
Whoop whoop.
In this episode, Villanelle is wearing 4 to 5 outfits. So first, she is wearing what we already discussed in the last episode. And while she is wearing this, at one point, she also puts an Elton wig and glasses on. So we are going to count right. this as outfit one, kind of. The second outfit is the all-in-black one that she wears when talking to Pyotr when he's beating up the couch. She's wearing some rich people sneakers,
mm-hmm.
black pants with a blacker side stripe. It's all very black. A black t-shirt, a black zip-up jacket, and her hair is in a bun done with a black scrunchie. So it's all very synchronized.
Black.
Yes. Then the third outfit is the one she's wearing at the fair. She's wearing a long green skirt that has side zippers that opens into another like skirt type, which is pleated. This she is wearing a geometric pattern long sleeve t-shirt in white, yellow, and red, and some black shoes. Then the fourth outfit, which is kind of like a 3.5, is this same outfit, but she's wearing this amazing apron over it, which overpowers the entire outfit. So we can just
yeah. It really transforms.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely a different outfit.
Yeah, yeah. I cannot think of it as like even connected to the previous outfit.
I honestly barely noticed that it's actually the same outfit. Same. All I noticed was the apron.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I also, when I just like watched it, not for Uti, I would not even notice that she's wearing the same thing underneath this. But anyway, this apron is white, blue, and kind of red, and has a heart at the upper top part of it. And I would absolutely wear this. I think it's amazing.
God, yeah. To just wear it at home for baking.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And then the last outfit is the jumpsuit that her mom gave her. It is made out of jeans, has bat sleeves, a lot of studs. Actually, it's probably not jeans. It's just some jeans-looking synthetic fabric, probably. Or like denim-looking synthetic fabric. Yeah, those are the outfits. Which one is your favorite?
the apron, of course. Yeah, nothing to add here. I love it. I want it. God, I feel like I say that a lot about a lot of the outfits.
Yeah.
I want it. I love it. Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
I feel you, but my favorite is actually the boiler suit.
I knew it.
Yeah. It's me. Well, I love it.
I am actually gonna go with the festival outfit. I would personally not wear it, but I think it kind of has this this fashion spread vibe. Huh. That, you know, they would take a bunch of models into this village in Russia and then have them in stuff like this. So, kind of liking this vibe. I like that the skirt is like two different skirts if you open one up, and the vintage t-shirt is also pretty cute. Okay, so let's rate this episode.
I would rate this as 6 Feet Under, which is a show that, like this episode, is more about family and death than gay stuff, but it also includes gay stuff, you know? And also, parts of it are very good and parts of it are not. That is also true for both these things, this vague thing that I just said. No, but I feel it.
I would rate this Haunting of Hill House for the exact same reasons as you, Nina, did. It's about family and death, and it's pretty gray, but it's also gay.
I would rate this episode Red, White and Royal Blue by Casey McQuinston. The vibe is quite different, but the reason I'm choosing it is because the idea behind it is bad, but the actual execution is good. So in Red, White and Royal Blue, the idea or the setup of the book is the first son of the USA and the Prince of England dating, and that being good, and that will somehow help and save us. Yeah, but the actual book is very cute and fun to read, and I really enjoyed it. And in this episode of Killing Eve, I really liked the actual episode. I thought so many scenes were fun, and
the metaphors were so subtle.
And I don't know, just like the details made me happy, and the actors were good and stuff like that. But the idea of the episode, as I see it, is this whole thing about why is Villanelle a psychopath? Was she born a psychopath? Is it because her mom is a psychopath? Who's the real psychopath here? And I hate this shit. So, yeah, that's my rating.
Let's play a game.
Let's play a game.
This week, the game that we're playing is what would you do at the Harvest Festival? So, out of all the activities that we saw, which one, where do you see yourself?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it's easy for me. I would be the person in the cow costume.
Nice. I think I would be jumping in the bouncy castle. Even though with age this has become hard, like jumping, it feels bad in the stomach, so I'll just enter the piroshki competition.
My instinct would tell me to go into the piroshki competition, but if I had enough self-control, instead I would just play like the most boring game they have, like once, and that would be my participation.
And then enjoy the dance troupe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. I would watch and cheer for the dance troupe.
Great.
Cool.
Thank you, dear listener, for listening to this episode of Queering Eve. We will record another one. We release new episodes every Tuesday evening. Have a nice week, and remember, 1 ounce is 28.35 grams.
The Prime Minister and
God of England.
The Prime Minister and God.
Not that.